Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we are live and we are broadcasting on godfathersofpodcasting.com. You know, we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting, but apparently we have not been podcasting since before time was invented because we are late. And we are so sorry to all of you that have been waiting for us here. A little bit of technical glitches. The very first time we go live on our own website, no Facebook, no Instagram. We're doing it ourselves. Thank you so much to all of you joining us right here on godfathersofpodcasting.com. If you're not joining us live, the show is available, of course, on all major podcast providers, Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the other big boys. And of course, the video version of this show is only available right here on godfathersofpodcasting.com. This is episode 64. And if you know anything about this show, 6 + 4 = 10. And that's a good omen. My name is Donnie DeSilva. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, of the 20 plus years that I've been in broadcasting, I've had many, many co-hosts. But these two men are without question the most recent. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell and my bro, Danny O.
Yo.
Yo, it's crazy to think that Donnie, after an intro like that, you two are my most unfavorite co-host.
Unfavorite?
Unfavorite, yeah. Yeah. My favorite being Dan, of course.
Who learned you to spell?
Up to two, I would hope so.
I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
I mean, also, who's going to give me the most street cred? It ain't going to be Donnie.
Hey, listen.
Yes, sir.
Even if I finish third, I'm still a bronze medalist. I'm good.
Wow.
That's the most Canadian statement ever. I'm happy with bronze.
Dude, there's even gold medalists. Like, y'all killed it. I got to give a little quick shout out before I cut you off, Dan, and you can do this, but quick shout out to the man who's been number two for so many years, you know, as long as Usain Bolt has been running, like, you know, Neil Tyson Degrassi has been coming in second place. And congratulations to him, man. to being the man. Like, yeah. I could not be happier for Canada in that position. A lot of other people have been killing it. The girls in judo have been killing it for Canada. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, rowing. So
swimming.
Like,
it's Canadian ladies are killing the swimming too.
It's crazy. You run and you swim. That's a hell of a statement for your country.
And we have a decathlete who smashed it with over 9,000 points to get.
What is a decathlon, by the way? What is
in 10 events, man? That's the best event there is. There's 10 events.
Okay. What are the 10 events? Like number 10.
That used to be
the
decathlon used to be the glamour event, right? They used to say, like, whoever wins the decathlon is the best athlete in the world.
He's the ultimate athlete. He deserves it too, man. You know,
did Bruce Jenner win it?
Was that his event?
I don't think so.
Or did
I remember
did Jenner win it?
This is gonna date me back a few years, but whatever, I'm old. I remember a Canadian decathlete by the name of Dave Steen, not to be mistaken with Dave Steeb, who was a Blue Jays pitcher, but Dave Steen. Mm-hmm. And there was an event that happened at my school where Dave Steen was a visitor at the school, and I got my photo taken with him and put on the front page of the Toronto Sun newspaper.
Nice.
Me and Dave Steen, with him teaching me how to throw a javelin.
Yeah, and he was.
Into
your mouth.
That's where Donnie really understood the grit.
It was a life skill I never used again, how to throw a javelin.
I find that hard to believe. I bet you've thrown quite a few javelins into your mouth.
I'll throw your javelin.
Yeah, you will right into your mouth. What's up?
What else is new?
Man, I definitely know it includes the 1500 meters, the pole vault, the javelin, the discus throw. Those ones are in there for sure. I believe there's the three jumps I just looked up. So there's at least five of the 10. But shouts to Damian Warner. That's the man who won gold for Canada. And apparently over 9,000 points is like almost unheard of. So Damian Warner got over 9,000 points and is the gold medalist for Canada.
Is this the real life version of, remember that video game, like the Summer Olympics, you know, the video game where you could do all those things. You had to keep it like inside of the, you know, inside of the angles for the discus and everything. This is like a real life version of that.
Yeah, dude.
You know the game.
Yeah, that wasn't easy either.
For those that are curious, I did just look it up. Men's decathlon, 100 meter, long jump, shot put, high jump, 400 meter, and then on day two, 110-meter hurdles,
the hurdles,
discus throw, pole vault, javelin, and 1,500 meters.
That's serious.
Run of death.
That's insane.
Okay, so if you were to ace this entire thing, what is the maximum points that you could get?
Well, Damien Warner got over 9,000, and apparently 9,000 is extremely rare for any decathlete to get. I don't know what the max is, but that's what he scored. And the silver medalist was well beneath.
Pole vault, javelin, 1,500 meters.
That's serious.
Thanks for bringing that back to us there, Donnie.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sorry, I was monitoring the live feed and shit went sideways.
It's calling response.
Ladies and gentlemen, the website just had an aneurysm. Yeah. In case you're just joining us now.
So that's just showing that the website's working.
Dan,
you mentioned, of course, Usain Bolt being retired is one of the things that helped our boy Andre de Grasse become a gold medalist, but never discount Jamaica. The gal them bun down the track. Yo, that was an amazing, amazing thing to see. Shout outs to the Jamaican track team, the ladies, specifically the ladies, because the men ain't doing it this year, but the ladies came 1, 2, 3.
It probably comes natural because otherwise they're going to get pregnant. Like they get caught, they get pregnant.
My favorite, man. I just want to say this about Andre de Grasse.
You get away with it?
Andre de Grasse, he won the 200 meter for Canada today. He won gold. He also won bronze in the 100 meter.
Yes.
And I saw a post on, I think it was Twitter, Instagram. I don't know where I saw it today, but my favorite social media comment of the day, bar none, the most Canadian thing ever. If Andre de Grasse gets a school named after him, it should be called de Grasse Junior High.
Why junior high?
Degrassi. My daughter calls him Degrassi, so I get that joke right away.
That's amazing.
Why not like a university wing or something like that?
Actually, I think it was our old pal Pat Andre Mastriani. I think it was Joey Jeremiah that retweeted that. That's how I saw it.
So he didn't come up with
sense.
It.
So it's Pat Mastriani approved.
Attaboy.
Nice. So yeah, lots of cool stories going on lately in the Olympics. I wanted to ask you guys about this one. Nice. Did you see the story about the women's beach handball team in Norway? For anyone out there that hasn't been paying attention, let me just give it to you like this. The team, each member of the team was fined, I believe it was 150 euros for not wearing bikini bottoms.
Handball or volleyball?
Handball, I guess. That's
handball? Really? Okay.
I mean, so, it's pretty much every woman's sport in the Summer Olympics, is it not? Where they're like supposed to be wearing these shorts that show off their cheeks and all of this stuff. Like, is that like,
I didn't think that's what the Olympics was all about. I'm just,
yeah, I didn't think so either.
It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be about comfort while you're doing your job. Right.
So here's the funny thing.
For the longest time, in my opinion, it's always been, this is why we tune in. So obviously some crazy old kooky old men up at the top have been saying, hey, this is how we keep it. And finally people are waking up and saying, why? Because I don't want to see the dudes up. Like, otherwise just make the dudes wear yam bags and do their competition.
No, here's the thing the ladies are complaining about is on the men's side of beach volleyball, handball, they are allowed to wear shorts an inch above the knee. The women's side, it specifically states they must wear a bikini bottom and it can only be whatever it is, X number of inches. They say it has to be a high cut bikini bottom and the side strap can only be so big.
That's messed up. That's hella messed up. In 2021, that shit should not exist. Right. It doesn't impact or impair their ability to play the game. There's a lot of different uniforms out there depending on your sport. And obviously, if you have to wear something that's tight, like they do in beach volleyball or in this particular sport, I think, because I haven't seen it being played, there's no reason that women have to subject themselves to more skin exposure. That's some bullshit. That is
who is this, Norway?
Bullshit. Yeah.
Everyone should, every single woman playing in the Olympics should be like, nah, we're going to boycott the whole damn thing. That's fucked up.
The
it's
woman
really should not be happy. What about this? They're forcing them to wear a bikini.
Is there a men's division of all?
Yeah,
of this,
and he said they wear. The shorts, are cut above the knee. There's no reason a woman can't wear the same thing. It's like in basketball.
Here's what I say. As a boycott, and to send the message.
The men should wear
it. The men's team should put those things on, come out there. Let's see who shows that shit on camera. Let's see who does that and goes to just commercial breaks the entire time. Yeah. Then you're going to truly see why the Olympics are created for what they're created for.
Get a bunch
of
men.
These young superstars to become fucking world famous people, but so that people tune in for TV ratings. Fuck all y'all, you dirty old bastard.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Bunch of men showing up on the beach in their marble bags and... Let's just challenge it and see what happens.
Borat bikinis doing fucking volleyball spikes.
The woman who is a spokesperson for the Women's Olympic Handball League or whatever the hell it is, she actually spoke out and said, I'm not sure why it's a rule, but it is a rule, so we have to enforce it. And none of the other women on any of the other teams have a problem with it, so what's the problem?
I think her name was Karen.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually tired of, I know someone who doesn't have a problem with it, so it shouldn't be a problem. Because you hear that shit all the time. I'm friends with someone black. I'm friends with someone native. And they don't have a problem.
It's the Candace Owens argument, Dan.
It's the Candace Owens argument.
Yeah.
Time and time again. Instead of looking at the big picture and what this truly actually means, they gotta go to that one goofy ass friend they have and use that as their reasoning. And nah, man, get that shit out of here.
I want to throw this out there. Someone made a comment to me recently and said, of all the professional sports leagues out there, the one that gets it the most and is, you know, in the eyes of the right wingers, woke, but in truth, just paying attention to the temperature of the room.
Right.
The NBA.
Absolutely.
The NBA did something last. The NBA did something last week that I really thought needed to be spoken about and commended, and I don't think it's gotten enough publicity. So I want to mention this real quick, fast, boys. I don't know if you or how many of our viewers, listeners out there are familiar with the story of Terrence Clark. Mm-hmm. Terrence Clark was a kid out of Kentucky. He was scheduled to be a real high draft pick this year, and just before the NBA draft, he was killed in a tragic accident. And so what happened was Terrence Clark's family, his moms and everybody,
sister and brother, they
attended the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Adam Silver got up there, spoke highly of the young man, and then they did an honorary draft.
Yeah.
He even said, with the next pick.
Yes. And I got chills.
I literally got chills, man. I literally got chills. That was one of those feel-good moments. If you watch that video on YouTube, if you didn't already see it, and you don't feel something, you're dead inside.
Yeah, like, I welled up,
man. Legit dead inside.
Yeah, I saw that, and I completely agree with you. He made it super official, the NBA selects. So obviously, clearly it was honorary. He did it on behalf of the entire league, knowing that Terrence Clark would have played at some point, would have been drafted by some team. I think we often, and death is always hard, and we often are confronted with it and wonder what to do and what to say. And I think there's certain gestures. I know for me, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to tell you, there's a particular condolence I received 4 years back, almost four years back, when my dad passed. And I remember, and it stuck with me. And it was from a friend that I used to work with. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember it exactly. He actually sent me an email and said, I wish you a life void of tragedy and nothing but happiness so long as you live. And I just thought that was a really cool way of sending a condolence, because we often say my deepest sympathies, my sincere condolences. And it was really helpful to feel like someone cared enough to say, you've suffered enough. I think that Adam Silver and the NBA did one of the greatest gestures you can give a family who's directly in the midst of mourning, right? They just experienced this tragedy. And I don't know that there could have been a better way to give them that solace, if you will, that comfort, than to legitimately draft their son and brother. So my hat's off to them, because that was a fantastic way to honor the kid.
Great, great moment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't interfere with any salary cap, so that's good.
Our featured guest is waiting backstage, gentlemen, and I'm going to get to him. But before we do, I've just been told we have a special breaking surprise.
We have breaking. You have breaking news story.
A special guest, NBA player, joining us right now.
Oh wow!
And this is really cool. He signed a massive contract about 2 days ago. So we want to welcome former Toronto Raptor Kyle Lowry is here. And Kyle, we just want to know, Kyle, why did you leave for the Miami Heat? $90 million Thank you, Kyle. It's been a pleasure.
Well, what else are you gonna do when you offer $90 million, man?
$90 million
That's a great contract for his stage in his career. So,
dude, I would leave you guys for $90 bucks.
Nine cents.
We actually were hoping to have a surprise NBA
90 shillings
that just signed a contract, but that didn't fall through. So Kyle Lowry stepped in. Thank you, Kyle.
I'd get rid of you guys for 90 ounces of beer. Who we can
90 shiny buttons.
All right, gentlemen, let's do this right
90s
now.
90s mixtape.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello. This man, he joined us way back on episode 21, and we felt it was about damn time we had him back on, so it's time for the extended mix. This man is a writer, a teacher, a producer, a rapper that will leave your jaw on the floor when his words hit your ear. He's released 5 killer solo albums and has collaborated with legends like Tribe Called Quest, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, and so many more. He's even worked a few tracks with our bro Danny O. He was involved in every aspect of MTV's groundbreaking comedy, The Lyricist Lounge, and his voice can be heard on the Netflix show Mr. Peabody and Sherman. As mentioned the last time he was on, some of his tracks can be heard in various movies and TV shows like the SpongeBob movie, Dexter's Laboratory, and my all-time favorite video game, which I've been spamming like crazy lately, Saints Row. He works directly with kids, teaching songwriting and music production, and he does his part to pass that knowledge on, and you have to respect that. So it's time to warm it up. This is how we do. I know you're not surprised because you already knew. Been a while since I spit. I know I'm overdue. I'ma keep on rhyming despite Tid's review. He can keep on standing, holding his bamboo. When it comes to our guest, you know it's all true. His lyrics so tasty, like eating cheese fondue. Like Rosie Perez, he comes from Brooklyn too. You remember her line, "I don't wanna screw. White man can't jump, that shit was taboo." Now back to our guest, he's waiting in the queue. This is a return, it's not his debut. Rinse and repeat like a bottle of shampoo. Now I introduce, without further ado, give it up for Wordsworth. This is part two.
Man, listen, that intro. I don't think I got an intro that good, man.
Give it up for your boy.
That intro is fire. That's the best intro. Hands down, best intro ever.
I want the 90 million.
Yeah. What you know about the horse tooth killer, man?
Man.
That's the horse tooth killer right there.
It's the best intro ever, man.
Good to see you, bro.
What's up, Wordsworth?
How y'all doing? What's up? What's
good, man?
Doing all right.
Yes, sir. You mentioned Rosie Perez in there, and I actually wrote for her TV show pilot.
That's dope. What was the show?
It was based on her. It was actually a pilot for HBO, man. Yeah, so I wrote that.
And that's amazing.
Ironically, she had a story about Ace, meeting Ace on a dance floor back in the days.
Really?
And her shirt fell down and her breast came out. Yeah, and ironically, she didn't know that I knew Ace. So I brought Ace to the show.
Okay.
Slow back on the boobs falling out part. Tell us more about that story.
I don't get it, man, but Ace said he missed it because something happened, and when he turned around, she put her shirt up and left. But it was so crazy because to have done that show, she didn't know I knew Ace, and then to invite him there, and she actually had used that as a monologue. So that was kind of amazing. Wild story.
That's amazing, bro.
Words, we got lots of stuff we want to talk about, but before I walk away from that introduction, I have to just ask you, because you're a lyricist, you teach kids how to rhyme, and you do your thing. Tid shits on me every time I attempt. Can you give me a rating on a scale of 1 to 10?
Of the rhyme that you just did?
Yeah, come on.
I'll go seven. I'll go seven.
Ooh. I'll take it.
A seven from words?
I'll go seven on that.
Fuck yourself, Tid.
See, one thing I'll give Donnie credit for is he finds a rhyme scheme and stays with it, man. He's not changing it, man. Once he decides what word he's going to rhyme with,
one rhyme,
that's the whole verse.
I think for me, the way I'm reading is also the way you're saying it. It's not
delivery.
If he was like straight serious with it, like serious,
right.
I don't know about that, but the way it is and the intent behind it is what makes it dope.
I'll say this.
I think the way that you're rating it is based more on like a make a wish, right? That's really what it is.
I've been like a two.
I gotta give him this two because he's been known to come off the flow a little, and I want to push him back on, and he's been maintaining his flow lately. I'll give it to him.
Listen, the gauntlet was thrown on this show many months ago, and then we just kind of forgot about it because people got drunk and high. Yeah. I am officially throwing the gauntlet down one more time. We can invite Words back as a special guest judge. Tid, me versus you. Come on.
Dude,
we are going to spit bars.
So, wait, like, who are you? Are you like not Lil Dicky, you're more like Lil Testies? Is that going to be your rap name now going forward?
Put it in a rhyme, motherfucker. Put it in a rhyme.
Real talk.
If y'all pick a couple of
subjects,
we give y'all each some topics. See who come with the best.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Let's do it. I'm in.
That would be the most ridiculous thing that we have ever done on here.
I feel like you would come with it because I don't know about you, Words, man. When I came up in the game out here, like a lot of the stuff that put me on was like freestyle battling. And I always felt like when my back was against the wall, that's when I spit my best rhymes. Mm. Do you feel that there's a certain, I don't know, do you ever feel put in a corner where you have to really come with your A game? Because in my opinion, dog, I feel like you really snap on your features. I'm not saying your solo game is always dope. I love your records. But and you know, because I've been messaging you recently. You brought up Ace. I've been going through some Master Ace albums recently. And it's like every time your feature comes in, I'm like, come on, man, you snap. Do you feel like you have to go extra in on features? Is there something different about you when you feature versus your own material?
Sometimes, but it's really what I like about doing features, like for instance, like us doing songs. It's not us rapping about rapping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's one of the things I think that helps me maintain the career I've had, because people will actually hire me or ask me to rhyme on stuff because they know I can conceptually bring the best out of that concept.
That's
so
true. I think
that's what kept me around so long, honestly. Somebody I'm working on an album with P.A. Dre, and he was like, you know, what's your thing? Like your main thing? I was like storytelling has been the savior for me, because when we first came out, you know, back then it was really backpack stigma.
Yeah.
And once I did my first album and I got labeled a storyteller, which I intentionally did doing the music, like I got that bag, that title stuck with me. So I just happy to be able to do that. So that's it really. But yeah, I do. A feature, I take it super, super serious. Like if I'm doing a feature, oh man, I take it extremely seriously.
You want to outdo the man's on the track?
Not really. I kind of actually just want to think of a perspective the person hasn't done.
I get you. Which is partly that's the contribution you're outdoing.
Yeah. It's just really thinking of the perspective. Really, because if I just try to go like, man. The thought that I have into it, honestly, is really, what is the perspective that will shock people?
Okay. Sick.
For anyone that's just joining us, because I'm seeing the numbers go up at this moment, we are being joined by writer, producer, educator, rapper, Wordsworth. Words, I wanted to ask you, because I know with my bro Danio, as prolific as a hip-hop artist and legend in the country of Canada he is, this man doesn't give a shit about anything that's happening today in music. He only cares about shit that happened 30 years ago. And anything that's today, he doesn't. I want to know, because everyone in the hip-hop world was talking about it this week. Mostly true. Everyone in the hip-hop world was talking about it this week. Did you catch Lox versus Dipset? And what'd you think, man?
I,
Listen, Murder, right?
I bought the first Lox album. I was in college when I bought the first Lox album.
Right.
Wow. And the first time that Jadakiss was known for rapping was on ULC, which was playing in the lunchroom when I was in college.
Right.
So that's how far back I go with the Lox and stuff like that. So, yeah, the Lox definitely destroyed Dipset on that.
I feel like Jadakiss.
Especially Kiss, man.
I feel like Jada came in and was like, let me just show y'all who the fuck I am.
Yeah, you know what's crazy to me is how those rhymes from, like, some of them rhymes are from, like, 97.
Yeah, man.
Sound fire today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can hear those bars today and still be like, yo, that was ill. And, you know, that's what's kind of wild about it.
But what Kiss and them did that I thought was so appropriate is, first of all, they were live. And I get that these versus battles are not, like, traditional battles because you're predominantly playing joints. But like what Red and Meth did, which is my personal favorite verses, it was so fun because they were live. They put on a full on show. And especially when Kiss snapped, man, and he was like, you know, pulling off dudes, I don't know, took something off his head. And, you know, like when he was going in, like his bars, like he wasn't playing, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you think there's a place for that in the verses stuff, or should it be all fun and games? Because I liked the, hey, we're here to win.
Bro. Yeah, I think the way with Red and Memphis, it's a little different.
Because that was, yes.
They actually tour together regardless
for
of
sure.
or not. So they do verses every
exactly.
Moment.
And I thought it was more appropriate for them to be all
together with that's it. Different. With the Lox and Dipset, I think they have such a kinship from the fact that they've come up in the industry together. So mm-hmm. there's like a brotherhood of just being around so long. Mm-hmm. In this industry mm-hmm. is something else. But then I think also the Lox had more of a stake of wanting to establish who actually is the best in New York.
Yeah.
And I think that night it actually set a bar. Because when I was younger, honestly, I never was a Dipset fan for
right.
at all.
Same.
People were more so a Dipset fan for the movement and the style. Like the swag that they had. Yeah. Is what people love about Dipset. Even if you listen to the lyrics that they're saying, you can hear that there's no real intricacy in it.
Sure.
It's more of a flavor thing. Mm-hmm. But with the Lox, that was always a bar there because mm-hmm. we started rapping with Biggie. And if you look at all the songs they rhymed on, it was with the top lyricists.
Right,
right.
Nas, Jay-Z, it's straight pure lyrics. So,
yeah, so you're in New York right now, right?
No, I live in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida.
Yeah.
Originally from New York.
Yeah, from Brooklyn.
But you're in Florida. Okay. Because I'm trying to think, the Lox must just be strutting down the streets in New York going, give us those roses, baby. Come on.
I don't think they even need to do that because the internet is so lit up.
That's right.
This is all the memes that they get to see it from there. You know, the mm-hmm. memes, the YouTube channels.
It's crazy.
Everybody's just like showing so many crazy things about how well they did. So. They know what it is, and now they're going on tour together. So I would assume that the Dipset set is going to be way better on tour, right? More choreographed, and then they got State Property also going. So after that Lox thing, everybody's going to make sure their stage show is better, which is I think is a
for sure.
I guess the best thing about what happened the other day is making Definitely. Sure that people bring you a show.
Yeah.
Being the fact that you're living in Florida, are you inundated right now with the ramp up of the NFL?
Nah, not really. Where I'm at is we have the Minnesota Twins here, and we have actually the Red Sox. We host them here every summer. You know, summer spring training basically.
This is okay.
Yeah, so where I'm at is not there. So like. Miami is 2.5 hours from me, and then Tampa is 2.5 hours from me. So I don't have to deal with the football madness like that. it's honestly mainly more so college down here, though. You would deal more with – you could be anywhere. You're going to hear some college stuff going on. You wear the wrong hat into the supermarket. You go somewhere, somebody like, oh, man, that's what school you went to? Or that's it's like college is way more of a hierarchy down here than anything.
So when you're not working, what are you keeping an eye on most in the sports world right now?
I was doing basketball, but like I kind of keep it not really into it like I used to be, man. You know, like the basketball season was, it just came too quickly like that, you know? So it was like right around the corner. And then football, I'll watch it. But, like, I used to have the Red Zone. So I used to have, like, all four channels and everything and this and that. And then I was like, I'm doing too much, you know? So, like, I'm doing too much. So whatever's on locally is what I watch.
Right, right, right.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. But I like the Lakers, though, if it's going to be – because I like the legacy of LeBron.
Okay.
Right. No, so it's not that I like just LeBron because he can play. I like the legacy, like the school opening, the things that he does.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Thousands of kids, based off the fact that he's playing, is actually going to graduate from college based off his – him. You know, if you start in his school from kindergarten on up and you go to college, he pays for that scholarship. Mm-hmm. So I like the legacy of it, so –
But yeah, the Lakers made headlines this week, man, pulling in Russell Westbrook. But I mean, it almost feels to me like one of these things where it's like, Dan, you're going to get this reference, Dan, because you were a huge fan of Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
So remember Tobias on Arrested Development?
Of course, my favorite character.
Right. When Tobias is talking to his wife and he says something, I don't remember the exact line, but something along the lines of like 90% of open marriages never work, but I think it'll work for us.
Yeah. That show is so dope.
Yeah. To me, that's the Lakers with Russell Westbrook. He right. hasn't worked anywhere else, but I think it could work for us.
I think what I've noticed is a lot of these teams, when they get these older guys that are veterans, for me, being an older person, I start noticing that I actually ain't as fast as I used to be. Like, I went out on the court a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, word, this is what it is?
This is not the same thing.
Like, he just zoomed past me like that? That's what it is. And I was like, okay, and now my defense, I'm not even trying to do defense. Like, he comes to me, I'm a fake defense. You know,
right.
I just want to come down on offense and shoot a J, and then hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you sound like Westbrook.
Yeah, I'm not doing too much, but that's what I'm saying. You seen it when they played the Suns, the way them dudes was going up and down, the energy. Mm-hmm. You don't really realize when you're old.
No. So you're getting paid for court time, not performance.
Yeah, that's what
all I'm right.
Like Dave Chappelle says, I get paid for the attempt.
I'm saying I tied up my shoes, start paying me.
Hey Tid, yeah. Speaking of that, Wordsworth brings up an interesting point. I think it was last weekend or the weekend before you shook off the rust and put your boots on and got back in a wrestling ring for the first time since before the pandemic. Did you feel like a year older? You're a little bit slower and not quite as in tune as you were.
It's a different world because it's pro wrestling. You know what I mean? And it's a lot more akin to say like.
But timing's acting. Everything, right?
But it absolutely is. But yeah, no, I wasn't. I mean, everybody else was like, "Wow, that was really good," blah blah blah, and I was like, "That is the worst thing I've ever done in my entire life." Like, you know what I mean? It didn't feel right to me. It didn't like it's the same thing. And I think that's a lot of thing over the last little while, people that go out and perform, you know what I mean? That haven't had a chance to in 16, 18, 14, 20 months, whatever the case has been for wherever you are. And now all of a sudden you're like, okay, I got all these bookings. And you know, as well as I do, the first ones that come in all come in on the same date. Right. So you're like, shit, which one am I going to take? Right. Because it's all like, I want you on this date. I want you on this date. But, you know, you got to go out there and you got to have this certain sense of comfort. Right.
So
how hard is it for you, Wordsworth? You know what I mean? Like, because obviously it may be much easier because you have the ability to be able to work from home a lot. I'm guessing, you know what I mean? But as far as like, have you been out there because you're in Florida? Have you been out there? Have you been performing in front of the live?
As soon as I got on vacation, that's the one thing I love about teaching is that my vacations are pretty long, right? So I got like 2 months off. So as soon as vacation hit, I went to open mics.
Really?
Yeah. I hit the open mic every third Thursday. There's like a real big open mic down here.
Okay.
So I hit it June, and then I went July. And then two Mondays ago, I went to another open mic. So,
you know,
I stay at the open mic scene, not only just based off of me, but then I also do shows at that open mic too. So I go there to kind of like people to know me and stuff like that. And then And then what happens is that those same open mics, I actually wind up doing a showcase in a few months. And then all those people come out and support. So
are these battles or are you just doing your own stuff?
I do freestyles. I just go on stage and freestyle for like three to five minutes. And then I sit really. And then I just kind of like introduce myself to new people each time. And
that's
then
dope.
It works out. It works real well because I also wrote a musical. So what I was doing is I didn't really want to just go there and be like, hey, you know, I'm doing a musical. You mind? You want to sign up? So I would rhyme and then people would really be like, oh, no, he's serious. Okay. And then I would ask them about stuff and like, yo, this is what I'm working on. They're like, okay. Now they see what they what I'm investing in and with them having them a part of it, you know?
I want to ask you about freestyle.
Do you do pro wrestling? I got to ask real quick. Do you do pro wrestling?
He does it all, right?
It sounds like it, right?
Nah, man.
Right? Because I just want to make sure there's at least one fucking thing in the world that you don't do, right?
Wrestling fan? Now, I went to WrestleMania 3 on the screen in Madison Square Garden.
Really?
Yeah, man. I went to WrestleMania 3, man. They had the screen and everything, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I went there, and I had all the wrestling dolls. I had the ring.
Same.
I had everything, man. So, yeah, I definitely know about a lot of that, man. I know a lot about that.
Dude, I have to ask you. I want to ask you about freestyle in a minute, but I have to ask because you're in Florida, man. When this pandemic thing first started hitting, you and I were talking about actually trying to put a video together. And I know how serious you were about being careful and making sure that your family was safe and making sure that you were safe and not, you know, contracting a virus. Now, here we are all these months later, for whatever reason, we haven't. Well, I know the reason, but we're still in this pandemic. And Florida, we keep hearing, is not exactly the safest place on earth. So I need to ask you, when you go to these open mics, how do you approach it any differently than you would in under normal circumstances? And how safe are you feeling? Like, what's the vibe down there, man?
Well, because I go along with what I see with this whole CDC stuff. So remember June, I was fine as long as I'm vaccinated to go out.
Okay.
So I'm out and about chilling, you know what I'm saying? June, July is that. And then 2 Mondays ago, I was fine because before this new thing going on as far as the
variant
outbreak where I'm at. Yeah, like having to mask up indoors now. But if you know, me going to school, because I started school back Monday, so I've been there for training all week.
And oh, wow.
I'm in there and all the guidances and stuff like that, that's done in Florida. Like, you can't even tell a kid to put a mask on or nothing. It's all optional. But I'm one of maybe 7 teachers that have a mask on.
Really?
I'm rocking a mask. I'm masked out.
Because I'm saying, okay.
We're going to be masked out. We did open house yesterday, so I had to meet hundreds of people. And I met parents, kids, some with masks, some without. I had my mask on, and that's what I'm riding with. You know, it's optional for what you want to do. So
yeah.
I'm going to look at it like
this. You catch heat from any of the other side, like when they show up and they look at you with your mask, and you know what I mean? Because we all see videos and stuff like that, right? Like, anybody flexing?
Nah, it's not like that on a majority. Good. On a majority level, that's just like a fraction of people that feel that way, and they pretty much stay amongst themselves. I see it like that a lot of times. I think, like, when I notice a lot of the division that goes on, I guess even on a country level, a lot of those people stay with their people because they're kind of all in the same ideology. So, but for the most part, no, they're not thinking like that. And even if they do, I think they just kind of respect what I do, and that's it, really, you know. But
the ironic thing is that, like, up here, like, Toronto has gone through the longest lockdown on the planet. Mm-hmm. No city, no major city has been locked down longer than Toronto. And it's only in the last month or so that we're starting to get back to real life. Right. And even still, everywhere you go, every person's masked up, right? Mm-hmm. And like, all of us here are vaccinated, and, you know, even still, masks are required wherever you go.
Right.
Part of the doctrine that's been recited up here is, when you wear a mask, the way that the masks work and particles work and everything else is, you're actually wearing it to protect the person in front of you. It's not protecting you. So this attitude that you hear from people, they go, you don't feel safe, you go ahead and wear a mask. No, stupid. I'm wearing the mask to protect you.
Yeah.
You're supposed to wear a mask to protect me. And like, that total lack of go fuck yourself. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
Like that attitude, I feel like that's part of the reason why shit has gone so sideways.
100%. And
6 months ago, 7 months ago, when Florida, Texas, places like that were opening wide open and going mask free, everyone up here is saying, you know, fuck this shit. We should be like Florida. Why aren't we opening up? And it's like, we're getting killed here in Toronto with every variant that there is. They don't have them yet. It's coming.
Yeah, we got some of those variants going on too with the Delta, and now there's a Delta Plus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who's naming these things, man? Why do these sound like good shit? Oh, you got the Delta Plus? Sweet. Well, like, why Delta is this sound
Delta? Yeah. Delta means change.
You know, Danny might be able to tell you how I think. I pretty much, once I'm done with something, if I can, I don't really stress stuff like that. Like, Danny knows me. Like me, I'm the type, like, I'm going to do what I got to do. You ride out, you're going to ride out. And you know, there's people I disagree with on a lot of stuff. I just don't bring that up. So if you don't want to rock the mask, don't rock the mask. I'm gonna rock.
Yeah,
the mask.
I feel you, but
that's it.
It's tough because it places you in positions where it's like, well, like for example, you're talking about open mic. Like it's been a long time since I've been on stage. I haven't gone back on stage yet. It's the thing that I miss the most about what I do professionally. I want to perform, but I'm not yet in a place where I feel comfortable being in a facility packed with people because I don't know what other people are up to. In other words, the half mask, some mask, some vax, some not vax. And it's like,
when I'm at work Monday, when we're all together, the first meeting, these teacher meetings, it's about like a room full of about over 100 people. So I get it. It's like, I mean, and sitting at desk and everything, I got a mask on. But my thing is this, though. I can't waste my time arguing about something that is not going to change anything right there.
Right. So I feel you, but
my energy doesn't work like that. My energy works towards what am I put here to do that I can do from what I'm blessed with to alter people. Mm-hmm. So I know I can rap. So I can either do songs about it. I can know if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth.
But you can also decide. You can also decide if you, I mean, this part of your job we're talking about, obviously, but you can decide whether you're going to be part of or not part of something for your personal health. Like, this is what we're going back all those, you know, months ago. We're talking about, like, you know, making sure you stay safe, family stays safe. And I get different opinions because I'm in that place too, words where it's like, I'm not going to argue with you. Right. I've experienced it. I was shocked to experience how polarizing this thing is between people of different opinions. So I'm not going there. But at the same time, there's certain places where I'm not physically going either. I feel like I need to make that decision. Work.
I've been in the classroom since last August.
Okay.
So for me, it is what it is. So if anybody has to say or ask me about anything like that, I'll be like, I was never absent last year because and I had a mask on. So I'm gonna stick to it until I'm not absent because of the mask on.
Okay.
So you really can't. I mean, like I wasn't out one day with a mask on. So why would I test the theory of no mask and see if I can get it? And
I'm not playing that game.
Now I get it. And now, you know, so I'm just going to ride the mask out and then go with it like that.
I'm
so
with you.
How I am with it.
I wonder, and I got to know because we've been going on with this for 16, 18 months, whatever it is, right? And you're still writing. You're still, you know, doing everything you can there. Has it been harder to like not involve, you know, the world of today, the COVIDness and all of that stuff into some of your rhymes you know, because it's easy to pull, you know what I mean? You know, as well as I do, it's easy to pull what's current and what's around you happening all the time when you're getting creative, you know, do you find yourself like, no, I can't be topical like that. I got to have something that's going to live through time. Right.
Well, totally. Like this album coming out, my solo album is like, my best album I've ever done. And I tell people that and they'd be like, I don't know, whatever. But then when I send them stuff, they'll hear it. You'll hear it too. Mm-hmm. But like, I rap about like everything that's going on, but I'm mindful of not overindulging in it though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm very mindful of it. Like, you know, if I mentioned it already, maybe on a record here, I'll be like, okay, let me take a pause from doing that again.
Right.
If I mentioned it on this record here, if somebody asked me to rap on something that deals with that, now that puts me in that bag of, okay, different angle of it.
Yes.
You know, because I already know. Like, that's one of the things I kind of – I'm not a shock value person, put it like that.
Right.
I'm very alert and self-aware of, I guess, how I view myself and how others may view what I'm saying. So I pay attention to what I'm going to write about and what I'm saying. So, I mean, vaccine could be in, like, so many verses. I'm not
sure.
Right? Yeah.
I got one verse with vaccine. That's it. I probably never mention vaccine again, probably, unless I'm not going to do it like that.
So I got to throw this out there real quick for anyone who's watching the feed and is going, what's up with Donnie? He looks stressed out. We had so many people watching our live feed that we just crashed the whole fucking thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So for anyone that was trying to watch live, my apologies. Everything,
Daniel Kerr strikes again, baby.
Everything will be available on godfathersofpodcasting.com as well as on all of our podcast providers. You'll be able to hear the rest of this interview. Obviously, you're hearing it now if you're listening to me because we're not live right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, who's hearing this right now?
But I'm apologizing to those that we're watching live and then tuned in to watch after. We're aware of the problem. Don't email us going, did you know that you guys weren't live?
But they're probably emailing now because they're not hearing you live, motherfucker.
I can't fix it. It just says we maxed out the server.
Words, you are always conceptual, bro. So what's the concept of this album?
Oh, man. You know, I learned from watching other people give their title and idea of the album not to do that. Because their album, they'll do that, and then the album never come out for like 20 years.
Okay. Now, you don't need to give me the title, but I know that you were inspired by something to push you in a certain direction. Do we get any ideas about what direction you go in?
It's about how we're losing a lot of our superheroes from when we were younger.
Okay.
Our childhood heroes are getting older, passing away, some of our friends, so on and so forth.
Right.
Our parents are older. So I mentioned that on there, like watching my parents getting older. I see their mind still sharp, their body moving slower. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's really about like, that type of thing, you know. Like even me and Punch patch things up, you know what I'm saying?
That's dope. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, because I felt seeing DMX pass.
Right.
Yeah, man, Biz just passed. It's such an unpredictable world right now. And these past 2 years has seen a lot of like turmoil, death and things like that. So the album is kind of just based on the basis of how precious life is.
So very dope.
When's it drop?
Right now I'm looking at January 28th. I'm having it mixed right now. It's probably like I'm just waiting on the intro from Jessica Caremore and my boy to do a hook, and then
okay,
that's pretty much it. It's being mixed. The artwork is done. I have the artwork here. That's done. It's gonna be vinyl.
Beautiful.
Limited CDs distributed through Fat Beats. I gotta shout Fat Beats because they
shout out.
They're huge and always do my stuff for me.
Nice.
And I chose the January just based on the fact that I need to get some videos done. And what's harming some of the video aspects is the fact that I need to go to Baton Rouge to do one of the songs, and Baton Rouge is right now was one of the epicenters.
Wow, so, man!
A lot of these things that I want to do is really because the video situation is kind of you know up in the air. So, but that's kind of where I'm at with it. So,
if you need your boy to do a hook, just let me know. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just holler.
Yeah,
I work cheap. Don't worry, I work cheap.
He's trying to settle
out. Pay words to.
I'll pay you.
Shouts for continuing.
It's great. It's crazy how that feed just died. Right? It's crazy how that just happened. Huh?
I do have another EP coming out though in like a month though.
Oh, so
with my boy JF. So you'll see like the first single and stuff. I actually could send you the first single like to hear it, Danny. I'll send it to you.
Okay, bro. Yeah,
and
man.
I can check it out. And, you know, I can check it out. So, so I have an EP coming out, and that's like really on some really like kind of straight boom bappish. Like,
beautiful.
All the hooks are scratched except for like one song. It's a DJ, basically JF featuring me, and I'm rapping on some beats and stuff like that. So it was real, real kind of boom bapish there.
Oh.
And yeah, man. So that's really what I've been doing. And I got a book. I got a book coming out.
Another one coming out.
Another book.
I got a kid's book, man. I got a kid's book coming out.
Okay.
What's this? August? September. I say maybe end of September.
Okay.
June, August, September.
Yeah. No. Push it
is
out.
Is it a pop-up?
Push it to November, man. Christmas present.
Not a pop-up. But my...
Damn it.
You know, where I'm aiming to go with it is eventually kind of like get into a... Turn it into a series, a cartoon series or anime.
Wow, okay.
That's the aim. So...
What's the book called?
Beautiful, man.
I can't give the book title.
Yeah, All right. Listen, man. Listen, right. I feel you... Words, just tell me because I'm in agreement with you. Ever since I heard Midnight Marauders... And Extra P on that joint that he did with Tribe Called Quest.
The date.
Then at the end of the song, Q-Tip says, oh, Extra P told me, don't say the years. And I haven't said a year in a record. So I didn't even have a record out yet, but I've never said a year in a record because of that. Because what you said is so true. And I've known so many. They put it out too early.
Yeah. You remember the source, right? In the back of the source, you used to have the artist and their new album coming out. And the title.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then those artists...
They would do that in albums. I have albums like you look in their advertising forthcoming albums like this album never came.
And literally, I'm not joking. Some of those artists 15, 20 years later just dropped those albums.
Right.
Yeah.
Same title.
Wow.
Literally. So I was like, now.
Yeah, no, let it be fresh.
Yeah. Just keep the title away because then people.
It dates.
You don't know if it's new or old.
I get you.
We are up against the clock, but before we go, I have to ask this because if I don't, I'm going to hate myself in the morning. Dan doesn't know I'm going to ask this. Words, you definitely don't know I'm going to ask this, but here's what I'm going to throw out there. We have hip hop royalty in the house right now. Wordsworth and my bro Danny O. Can we do a little back and forth, a little cipher, a little something, something?
I just knew it.
Come on, man. We got two of the best. Two of the best. Just a little.
We got something. Cut off last time, remember?
Yeah, and I'm not even saying a battle. Just a little something, something.
I'd rather see Wordsworth and the Horse Tooth Killer, to be honest.
Thanks. I wish we had it set up with a beat and all of that. You know how they be doing that a lot of times? Mm-hmm. I'm wrong, man. If y'all had a beat set up and everything.
Okay, you don't want to spark. Oh, you're going to put up a beat? Oh, wow. This guy is ready.
The only thing I'm worried about putting a beat is if it's off because we're all on different.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Let me see what I got going on here. Let me see if I got some.
It's a very professionally produced show that we're putting on here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's just the problem of doing a remote show.
Are you pulling something up in your notes?
Yeah, because I don't know this rhyme by heart, so I gotta get that.
Nice. We're gonna hear something that he put meaning into.
Yeah, I'm gonna do like some of the first verse for this. This is on the album.
That's incredible. That's actually a real treat. Oh,
wow. All right.
Here we go. All right, here we go. I'm gonna bring the beat back. Is the beat too loud? How's it sound?
Bring it down a touch.
How about that?
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Bring it back. All right, here we go. A million stories in the city when you follow the news. Each block is a page, each city is a novel to choose. Old man in front of the Apollo makes dollars to use on bottles of booze and shine box polish and shoes. Or the lady in bed said a voice in her head. Couldn't sleep, ran out of meds and leap from the ledge. We forced to picket, enforcing laws from bigots. Heaven ain't praise, live evil and talk religious. Family coming, had a fight, lost his visit. In Chicago, won the lotto, but lost a ticket. Bob and Robbie pulled up in Maseratis. Probably did that Robbie at Hobby Lobby. I mean, people's memories are getting foggy. A shoddy hit the body, killed Ahmaud Arbery. Hate rising. Daytime riding, sirens, surviving with FaceTime driving. Last week, a family going from a gas leak. Same stove when it's cold, used for the gas heat. Run around dressed for more nines than black sheep. Got to move across the rent is higher than the last lease. Heart attack holding on his chest till the last beat. Asking yourself, when'd you last meet and last week? The goal is serenity. Rolling in the rolls in infinity from stolen identities. Living in a cartoon near me. So many police sketches, they can start a cartoon series.
Mm.
What?
Wordsworth in the building, baby. Love them bars. Love them bars. Always so have, nice. Always will, man. I appreciate you, bro. We're going to get on something again. You know that, man. I'm going to set you something soon.
Man, I'm always here, man.
As I get my next concept. I was just thinking about it today because, like you, I like to have a specific vision and not just write for writing's sake. So we'll get up on it soon. Congrats on all this work, man.
Yeah. I'm hyped, man. When you hear the album with P.A. Dre, too, man, it's real dope, too, man. So that one's almost done, too. So
look forward to it.
Like I said, I'm going to send y'all a song. I'll send y'all the single for the EP. This is August. The EP supposedly September, but probably October. But I'll send it to y'all and, you know, check it out.
Dope,
bro. Amazing.
Yes, sir.
Our guest has been educator, writer, producer, rapper, the one and only Wordsworth. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, y'all, man. I appreciate y'all.
All right, we'll do it again.
Big
sometime,
respect,
man.
My bro.
All right, y'all be safe.
Okay, there he goes. Keep safe. Wordsworth, everybody.
Legendary bars, man. I mean, dude,
I just still didn't get a cipher.
I know how bad you wanted that. But you know what? I gotta say, you know, it's the truth, and this is, you know, this off camera and off show, Donnie. Like, and I know this is true for Words too. Our artistry means so much because I've done it on this show and regretted it. That I'll rhyme over someone else's beat, and it'll be off because of the. Yeah, I know. I feel you. I will throw an acapella, man. But we just got treated to an exclusive Wordsworth verse, so I ain't mad. You've heard
No,
me
that
rap.
Was dope. That was amazing.
Yeah, he's insane for decades. Just he continues to kill it and inspire because he doesn't stop at MCing, as you obviously know. So shouts to him, man. That was dope.
You know that for years and years and years, well, as long as we've been doing this show as the three of us, Dan, it's always been about like just making sure that we feed that horse. That is Donnie, right? Yeah. So you just have to humor him sometimes. And that means that you have to do the rap thing that you do so well, thankfully, because, you know, otherwise, foof. But here we are again, right?
Yeah.
Parting thoughts, gentlemen, as we talk over a classic Danio track.
Yeah, well, Serial Killer, Dexter's on the way, so that's cool. I haven't
seen the latest trailer.
I am hyped just because it won't be worse than how they ended the series. But I do want to say, since you're playing Serial Killer, that Serial Killer joint appears on my Immortal EP, but because we sampled the Dexter loop so heavily, we're actually going to re-release it without that song. It's free on Danio.com. You can go to my Bandcamp and download it free. But Immortal is going to be revised, my EP from 2013, and it's going to be streaming everywhere. The first single, Worldwide Vapors, just came out featuring Big Kish and Maestro Fresh West. Again, it's a 2013 single, but it just became available for streaming this past Friday. So go check me out on Spotify for that new joint from the Immortal EP, Worldwide Vapors.
That's kind of like what Words was talking about, right? Guys had an album coming out 15 years later, it did. Dan put out a track, 7 years later, it's available.
You know what the hilarious thing is? I have so many people hitting me up going, your new joint is dope. And that's the crazy thing about being an artist in my position is like I have this fan base that supports and I have a whole lot of other people who are down but don't know. So I put out this song from all these years ago because it's now on Spotify and never was before. It's new.
It's new.
So enjoy my new song.
Crazy.
Yeah, and more is coming. More is coming.
So you mentioned wrestling earlier. There's going to be more of that coming up. Rock Solid is pumping back up, so we got some stuff going on there. Barry Wrestling is going on, so we got some stuff coming up there. Just, you know, be sure to check it out. If I'm not dead before then, we can come to a show and check it out. So other than that, no, man, we're good. We're going to see you next week, right?
We will be here, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I was talking to Dan.
Yeah, man, I'll see you next week, bro.
All right, cool.
On behalf of Danny O and the Taurus CID, fucking asshole. My name is Donnie DeSilva. Episode 64 is done. We'll see you next time.